Okay, we are continuing in Kuf Yud Gimel, Halacha test. Halacha was about, just to get back into it, the Mechaber had said, if someone who's not Jewish cooks a food, Kamachal Ben Drusoi, that food is Bishlakim. Everyone agrees on that. The Mechaber said, once it becomes Bishlakim, there's nothing you could do to make it back to the Bishl Yisrael. The Ramo was Mekel. Ramo said, yes, you still can, this Yid can still cook it and make a Bishl Yisrael. And the Mechaber had said to be Tzomach that only an Erev Shabbos or Hefzim Ruba, but the Mechaber basically is Machmir, and I'm always making about that child. Okay. Now, this little question here is, within the Shita of the Ramah that a person could be Mekel, that you could cook it even later, we saw that the Ra'as, the Ra'al, who's the Mekel, that's the region which the Shita comes from, who explains the Shita, says that its mutter, the Yid can cook as long as it's still mitzvah v'yafaloi, which means is, not only can the Yid cook while the food is, before the food finishes cooking, but even if the food is completely finished cooking, and now you're cooking more to add to it, you're cooking more to make the food taste even better than that, something you can do, I'll give you an example later, but even if you're cooking food that'll add to it later on, that's still a time that the Yid can participate. Okay? And that's what the Ra'a says. Do you have a question?
No,
okay. Yeah. Now, the Gilui Marshal, right here on the page, brings from a sefer called Chuvos Chinuch Beis Yehuda, which I don't have, who says like this. It says, Tzorach Oid, you can only make it if it's Tzorach Oid Ligmar Bishuloi. Okay, it's on the bottom of the page. I'll be Shekvar Nigmar Loi. Okay, now, I don't have the sefer, but the Daki Chuvah understands this to be saying, that's what he brings it down, he means like this. If the Gilui Marshal is arguing on this point, if the food is fully cooked, then it's too late for the Yid to help, even though it might still be mitzvah v'yafaloi. He doesn't say anything about that, and I don't have to say for the look at it to really know what it says, but the Daki Tshuva seems to have understood that that's what he means, that this Tshuva's Chinuch Beis Yehuda is only be mekel in cases if the Yid did cooking before it finished. If the cooking is finished, and the Yid would just be mitzvah v'yafaloi, just making it taste better, do something beyond the full cooking, that he holds would not be enough. Okay, and because now the Daki Tshuva himself brings that many others argue, including the Ra'a. He brings the Ra'a, argues on that. The Ra'a is really the makor for this then, that they argue on that thing. But because of these kind of questions, the Oyus Poiskim, L'chatchila, do not want to rely on the Yid finishing with the cooking. Okay? They don't really want to rely on that because in a case where the cooking is full, is finished, all done, and you'll hear the case in a second when it's completely done. Okay? But on the other hand, what my say is, this halacha that we talked about here, we're in Kuf Yud Gimel now, was also in Kuf Yud Beis. We talked about it back over there a little bit. Kuf Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Beis. And over there, there's a long Chalkas Piyam about it, who brings a whole pile of Rishonim and Achronim, who are Mekel, like the Ra'a says. Even if it's Mitzvah V'yafaloi, the Yid can still help in the cooking. And he thinks that's the consensus of the Poskim, that you could be Mekel. And he brings of the contemporary Poskim, or the more modern Poskim, Reb Chaim Moser, Nachi Ezer, and Shevet Halevi both are make clear about it. That as long as it's still mitzvah v'yafaloi, the Yid can still participate. And that sure seems to be correct. Aside from this one line over here, and a few, makaris that the Chalkas Piyam brings, everybody else seems to say that as long as the Yid is still doing something to make the food better, that's good enough. Okay? Even though the food is fully cooked, the guy completely cooked it, it was fully edible, but the Yid is still adding to it, that's good enough. What's an application of it? I'm going to tell you one now, we'll do one in a little while, is the small peeled canned potatoes, okay, the tiny, this like this size potatoes, they taste good, okay, but they're fully cooked, coming out of the can, they're fully 100% cooked, but those potatoes are rarely eaten as is. People don't just take them out of the can, eat them as is, they use them to make other dishes, okay, they'll put some oil onto them and some spices and brown them in the oven. Okay, they'll slice them up and put them under a piece of meat and cook them together with that. And if they do something else to add, they do more cooking to add to the taste of the food. You know, when you brown those potatoes, you're cooking it more and you're changing the taste of the food. It's not just a plain potato. Now you've used it to make something else. So if that was the way you were using it, then you would say, according to the law, according to what seems to be the simpleton, you would say the person who's, the Yid is going to finish off the cooking at home, so then you could give hashgacha on that product. That saying is, this food is leaving the company's bishlakim, because it's fully cooked by the guy, but the Yid who's going to take it at home, or the restaurant that's going to use it with the mashgiach, is going to make it bishlakim as well. Okay, so you're gonna count on the fact that the yid taking it home was gonna finish it off, because even though it left the factory fully cooked, it's 100% edible. It's still the yid's gonna make it with some beautiful, and that would be good enough.
So a person should not eat it out of the can.
So we're gonna talk about that in a second. There's a very big. I said in theory you should be allowed to give hashgach based on that. I don't think it's a good idea. I know we're gonna talk about that in a little while. Okay, there's a very serious other issues with, like you said, eating it out of the can. Right. Okay. Now. I'm not saying people are doing that. I'm trying to give you an example of a kind of food that this then applies to. I mean, I'm not saying that you should
theoretically, if that's true,
then you should not. That would be good. Then you would not be allowed to eat that. Correct. We'll talk about exactly that point in a second. Okay, now, what we're talking about here is a food that's mitzvah kviyafalai. That by cooking it,
You said the Aedus room.
You're looking at the email again. I said that's it. We're finishing off a point that the pashas is that when we say that the yid can finish off the cooking and that's good enough, that means even if the guy did the entire cooking, made the food completely edible, and all the yid is doing is what we call mitzvah kviyafalai. He's making it better after it's finished cooking. And the example we were just talking about was you have these small canned potatoes, peeled potatoes, they're fully cooked coming out of the can. The yid, well then, if the yid would take it and go brown it, they put oil and spices on it, stick it into the oven, and it makes it taste completely different. I mean, adding to the taste of that food, that most people hold that mitzvah kviyafalai is still enough for the yid to help out. The Rama said you could help even after it's and the pasha says that's what we're talking about. That is, even if it's going to make it, even if it was fully cooked, you can still add, make it visually so if it's still matzah kiyafalai.
Most places in the world,
you missed it. You listened to the thing.
So, I heard you say last week saying that most places don't know like it.
Right.
Okay.
So now the this that we're talking about being matzah kiyafalai is only talking about that even if you make that matzah kiyafalai is only assuming that the person actually did more cooking to the food, okay? But it's obvious, okay? It's obvious that if the person's not cooking anymore, and all he's doing now is warming the food up, then that's nothing, okay? The fact he says, well, it was cold and I made it hot, that's obviously nothing. The Rajma, when he's even arguing on this Ra'ah, at one point he says is, according to what you're saying, whatever certain logic that he's arguing, according to the logic you'd say, I could say that it would be mutter even it was past mitzvah kviyafalai. In other words, and obviously that doesn't help anything. Obviously you can't help if you're just warming up the food. And that's negaya to, there's a practical case of that, which is instant rice. Okay, which instant rice, but Derech Klal is rice that's 100% fully cooked, and the person at home, all they're doing is just warming it up. Okay, all the person is doing is, the instructions say, cook it for a few minutes, all you're doing is making it moist and making it warmer, all of which can be accomplished without hot water. All which can be accomplished just by putting it into warm water. So that says to you that what you're doing is not cooking. What you're adding to this is not cooking. You're adding moisture and warmth. That's not adding cooking to this.
What
did you say?
You have to put spices in.
You could put spices into it also. But doesn't it add more cooking?
That would bring it back to where you're cooking it as opposed to just heating it up.
I'm spicing it also. It's just a matter of putting the spices onto it. The question is, you'd have to do something to make it taste better because of that.
You say, put spices in those raw potatoes.
Spices, hold on a second. Spicing it, again, you have to do something through cooking that makes it taste better. Say the Jew participated in the cooking, you have to do something, just by putting salt and pepper on it, it's not going to...
If you put margarine or salt and pepper on it, you're changing the whole taste. It's no longer just...
But if you put margarine and salt and pepper,
put margarine or salt and pepper in the water when you're cooking it, that doesn't change it to mean that it's a different. It's actually a different min. It's white rice, and now it's a flavored dish.
Right, so you're correct that it's now flavored, but that you have to add cooking to the food. You've added spices to the food. The Jew has to participate in the cooking. The fact that he put on the spices is not enough. He has to do something in the cooking of the food. By putting on some salt, I didn't do it. I just put on salt. I have to do something in the cooking shabbat to make it taste better. In the case of the potatoes, the person, it's not just that it has sprinkled oil on top of it. The fact that it cooked in that oil browned it and made it taste better.
Even though they're
They are fully cooked, but you
can... Let's say you just add salt and pepper to these potatoes and you put them in the oven. So basically just heating it up.
Then nothing. Right? Then you're just heating it up. But that's not what you do with them. That, what you do is you're so to speak, frying them to make them give up.
We don't add oil.
Like, can't you cut them?
I'm saying it's not... Oh, okay, fine. We make them just add spices. And,
that's what you say. What can I tell you? So you need to trade for it.
Okay,
fine. You're eating dishwasher?
What can I tell you? Okay, that's what I want to
know. We'll get to that in a second. Okay, sit down. So, but I'm not saying that every instant rice is there, but I've tried on instant rices and put it into warm water and just let it sit steep in warm water for a while, and it's fully cooked. It's fully ready to eat. So, which is to say that the same thing that people say to you when they taste it in the factory. They scoop it off the line, and it's fully cooked, which it really is. That's the idea, is that it's fully cooked. Okay, so in that case, the person is not eating, so you, even if you say that you could do just be mitzvah, be awful, here you're not even doing that. Okay. Next, another challenge. The Rama says the yid can participate even at the end of the cooking. The simple understanding is, if you just read the din shulchan aruch, you would say is, that means is he could participate however he wants to. There's no restrictions on that. Okay, Rabbi Kvega brings over here that the Prisha says, right on our bed, the Prisha says, this that we say, that the Yid can participate later on, after it's Kamacha ben Jusoy, after it's already passively edible, he can only participate if he does something that really contributes to make the food taste good, contributes to the cooking of the food, If the Yid, all he does is Hashlachas Kisein, all he does is one of the hacker kind of things, the things that help for dishing soil but are not part of the cooking, that's not good enough at this point. Okay, he doesn't say what the svar is, but the logic seemingly he's saying is that in order to make some bishul yisrael that's raw and need a little hacker count, it's easy to do that. But once it's already bishul akum, it's already been made bishul akum, it's already cooked by the goy to the point that it's edible, now to change it from bishul akum to bishul yisrael, somehow you have to do more.
Hashlachas kisim only good before it's third cooked.
Correct. So that's what the preacher says, the preacher brings it, that hashlachas kisim only works.
That's
Hibuch
Bama means?
What?
Hibuch
Bama. Right, Hibuch Bama is the preacher's word, but Hibuch Bama means to say things that don't really help for the cooking, they're just for a hacker.
Why is Hibuch, using what he said, Hibuch, why is that not contributing to the cooking?
It's because Hibuch Bama is a lashon from before, it means you moved it over without taking it off the fire. Yeah, that's what he's talking about. Right. But the earlier dinner where people weren't so happy. Okay, now, the lemaisa is that, it's hard to justify this because one of the riots that the Rishonim brought to be Mekel, how did they just know they should be Mekel about this thing? You can cook all the way to the end. It's because they said, the Gemara says, if you cook it, bein b'tchila bein b'sarif, and they had diukim in the Gemara, that it means is just like you can cook in the beginning, so too you can cook in the end. There's no difference between cooking at this time or that time. And all the diukim like that in the Gemara, that the cooking can happen at any time that you can cook. Whenever he wants to, that makes it bishul yisrael. What is that saying? The thing is that no matter what, it's all equal. There aren't differences between cooking at this time and cooking at that time. Okay? Now, in the Gemara, you could argue and say, this din of Hashlachas Kisein is really not Midin HaGemara. Okay? So we're trying to make it later up. So maybe in the Midin HaGemara, everything is equal, but the din later on, the Hashlachas Kisein kind of thing is not as good. But you're looking at in the place, aside from the Prisha, I mean, who's a serious person, comes in, aside from the Prisha, no one else says that. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. The Shulchan Aruch just says, this is how you make bishul yisrael, all kinds of rules, and now, halacha test, and you should know that we have a machlokes. Do you have to do it at this point or at that point? No, the simple reading here is that the rules of how you make bishul yisrael don't change for this case. It's just a detail. You can do it, the Mechaba holds you can only do it at the beginning, and the Rama holds you can do it even at the end. But whether you can do Hashlachas Kisein, Pashas, you can do it even later also. Okay, and you don't know this, but the Prisha, when he says his din, he doesn't just say that out of the blue. He says, the Beis Yosef argues on what I just said. The Beis Yosef holds you can do whatever you want to. And I hold that you have to do, you can only do a full cooking later on. Okay, so the preacher himself is not, he can't, if you look at the preacher just brought him, you see it just as a statement, but he says you should know the Beis Yosef holds you can do whatever you want to, and I hold you should do not like that. And we saw also earlier, when we learned Kufi Beis, the Minchas Yaakov over there, Chok Yaakov brings, pretty straightforward, pretty clear, that you can do even Hashlachas Kisein, and it's my impression that most places cannot make it like this, not like this preacher, I mean, it's brought here on page, but most of places will not make it like the Yid can help in the late cooking, no matter what.
What's making a difference if the preacher acknowledges the Beis Yosef's Shita?
That is to say, is that he's saying is, everyone who told me said, that the din is you can do whatever you want to. And I'm coming up with like a chiddush to say this. He's not like interpreting that that's what it's always been like that. He's like saying to you, you should just know that here's a new sheet like this. He's not saying that's what it was always
against
been.
His argument, or
what?
Is that against the argument?
Yeah, that doesn't mean that. Just to say is that if you're trying to see what was the assumption, if you just read this one line and say, oh, he's explaining the din, and that's really what everyone holds. It's not really what everyone holds. The Shulchan Aruch himself, the Beis Yosef, holds not like that. And which is, you get that from reading it also. If the Rambam held it's only mutter in a certain case, it's only mutter in certain kinds of business, should tell you, and those things that we said a few halachas ago don't apply here. Okay. So now to some practical applications. I mentioned...
I think what you just said is just confused me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're saying that the Beis Yosef holds, and then we just said the Rambam says...
Right. I mixed those together. He says the Beis Yosef, in explaining the lenient opinion, says you could do even Hashlachas Kiddush. You can do whatever you want. And that reflects what everyone just assumed, that the lenient opinion holds you can do any kind of participation you want. And I'm seeing that also the same idea in the Ramah. What the Ramah, who actually is Mekel, why doesn't he say, V'yesh matir b'chol inyan, but you should know, if you want to be Mekel, don't do Hashlachas Kiddush. Why doesn't he tell you that? Because he assumes that you can do whatever you want to. All the types of ways to make this result that were said on the page beforehand apply over here also. There's no restriction.
What is the whatever you want to?
You could do, let's say you want to do Hashlachas Kiseh. You don't want to really be part of the cooking. You want to just do what we call a hecker, just some sign of, make a mark of the fact that a Jew is here. That's what you're doing. So, is that good enough? Your mother doesn't tell you it's not good enough. Why doesn't he say to you that you should know those coolers that I told you before don't apply?
So then what I said before, with the example with the rice.
No, so that's still not the same. Spicing is not yet, it had nothing to do with the cooking. Throwing a toothpick into the fire, that's at least something to do with the cooking. That's within the cooking process, you did something. Okay. So now, we mentioned one application of the Mitzvah B'yachloi with these little potatoes. And another one, that's why, now I know why I decided to put this over here and wait for Dov to come. Which is, if you have blintzes, okay, if you have blintzes, and the shell of the blintz is made on what they call a blintz wheel, okay, which just cooks the shell, it cooks it like with heat, just with dry heat, cooks the shell, and the blintz can often come out of the factory 100% cooked, okay, and assuming that it's olah shulchan aruch, and assuming a bunch of other things, you'd say it was cooked by the way, it would be dishlach, but every person who walks into it, who takes it home, is going to go fry it. It comes out looking like an albino. I mean, the thing is, it doesn't look like a blend. It has no color to it. It's very sad looking. So when you take, but every person who's going to take it home is going to take it and fry it. So then you would say, is the yid? That's another example of mitzvah v'yachol. The yid is taking the fully cooked food and doing cooking that makes it even taste better. So then, if it's time to be is enough to make a bishul yisrael, that would be another case where you'd say is, maybe I don't have to make it bishul yisrael in the factory, because the yid, when he gets home, will finish the cooking and make a bishul yisrael.
So what about the guy who's in the microwave?
I'm getting to that. I'm getting right to that. What?
Is that what we're actually saying?
No. It's bishul yisrael. It's bishul yisrael. Now, some examples, I just want to give you some examples of the din. Not of the mitzvah to be yisrael. Cases where it's not fully cooked. I have four examples here. One is parboiled rice. I had said to you before about instant rice, which is usually the rice that's fully cooked. Parboiled rice is partially boiled, okay, partially cooked. There the guy made it to the point that it's machal ben shoshoi. It's passably edible if you just warm it up, but the yid's going to finish off the cooking, and you could say that the yid finishing off the cooking will make it bishul yisrael. That's one example. There's something called potato dices, okay, which are diced up pieces of potatoes. They're cooked in water. They're cooked in, not in steam, they're cooked in water. And they are sometimes, oftentimes, kamaicha ben shoshoi. They leave the factory passably edible. And what you're supposed to do with them, then they dry out a little bit. What you do is you use them to make dishes with potatoes in them. Okay, you take them home, it's really like food service. You take them and you make something with potatoes out of it. So they're also, it would be leaving the factory bishlachim, and you would then be finished, potentially, if you made a bishlachim, then you would cook it at home or in your company and make it bishlachim. Another case is similar to the parboiled rice is par baked bread, okay, which is just more kedu. It's partially baked bread. Okay, they use it in lots of like bakeries that have no bakery to them want to use it. Two local bakeries that I can think of here. They're not real bakeries. They just want to have what appears to be a bakery. What they do is they take this stuff that's basically cooked in the factory, and they stick it into the oven, and then they have fresh bread, even though they have no flour and water. There's no yeast in the place. They can't make bread. But they're taking this stuff, and every day they can give you fresh bread, because they take bread that's partially been baked in the company, and then they just take it out of the freezer and stick it into the oven and cook it, do the end of the cook. Okay? So that could be, in that case, pasta. So, by the end, finishing with the cooking. And lastly is, frozen potato latkes are also, if my understanding is correct, mostly cooked in company to the point that they're passably edible. And there, also you could say is that the yid who finishes off the cooking in his house would make it bishri sol if it needed bishri sol.
The okay. par baked bread, just where I work, we use it. And I was told that it's completely cooked.
Okay, so.
And that all you have to do is just bring it up to room temperature and just start chopping away.
Okay, so I can't vouch for every single one. In one of the places locally that's a seriously place that wanted to be pasta sol, we tested it. We took it out of the freezer and left it on the counter just to see what happened to it. Not only was it not edible, but when we came back the next day, it had started rising. Okay, that's how not baked it was. That the next day, the thing had risen out of the bag and went from being this size to being this size. So I'm not saying that everyone was like that. Maybe yours is different. The one that was on our, we heard the same question about it. We sell it at pasta sol because the yid does the end of the cooking. So
they sell harvey breads at the Jewel. They have those aren't frozen, so those are in a package. So those might be edible.
I'm not saying everywhere. In another place that was on the Rashkoff and was being sold as pasta sol, we tested it just to be sure that theirs in fact was not fully cooked. So maybe yours are. Okay. Now, knowing all of this. And we've heard all these things, so I'm going to hear what you've all been rumbling about, which is, you could therefore make a case to say, and others have said this, is that since the Ramah says you can make it bishul yisrael by finishing up the cooking, and all these foods, parboiled rice, everyone's going to cook it at home, so if a Jewish person's going to buy it, he'll do the cooking in his house, he's going to go to a restaurant, they have a mashgiach making sure that it's bishul yisrael, and therefore the end of the cooking will make it bishul yisrael, so it leaves the factory treif. I know it sounds funny. It leaves the factory treif, but when it gets home, you're going to cook it, and it will be bishul yisrael by the time you cook it. Okay, so you could justify such a shita. Now the very serious problem is that's you're taking a huge chance when you say that, because there are plenty of situations where a person will use that food without doing what you think he's going to do with it. Okay. The one is on a person who's in a rush. Okay, a person, this case of a blintzes that me and Dov know about, the case of the blintzes, there are people who take it out of the freezer, stick it in the microwave, warm it up and eat it. Okay, they don't do the final cooking. The guy's in a rush. Okay, he needs his, for whatever reason, he takes canned potatoes, okay, and he decides to not eat it like that. He's hungry and he just eats them out of the can. Or he just pours some salt and pepper on it and eats it, sticks it in the microwave and eats it. Or you have companies who use these things not in the way that you think they're going to. You think that people use diced potatoes to make hash browns in their breakfast restaurant. That might not be. The company, I went to a company that was using these diced potatoes to make vodka. It was just a convenient source of potatoes for them. Other companies use it to make canned soup. And they take, so that the mashgiach in the soup company, what does he know? He sees a bag comes in that says, it has hashgach on it, says it's kosher, so he dumps it into the soup. He says, no, we don't need bishri yisrael in our soup. The soup, for other reasons, didn't need bishri yisrael. So he says, the potatoes are kosher, they have hashgach on them. The rest of the things in the soup don't need bishri yisrael. No bishri yisrael.
It's cooked in the soup.
What?
Then they get cooked by a company.
And then it's cooked by a company. In a house, the assumption is that in a house, if there's cooking being done in your house, I'm not saying everyone does this, but the typical setup is, they tell the government, you can't cook anything. All fires have to live by you. That's a standard way to set it up. They don't say, this you can cook, this you can't cook. But it could happen, not like that. But in a company, the guy's making vegetable soup, and it doesn't need bishri. He says, no need for bishri yisrael. I have potatoes. The potatoes have hashgach on them. What do I have to think about? The potatoes, everything else doesn't need bishri yisrael.
So. Well, I mean, there's a definition, which you could say is not an issue. So now, go ahead, you want to buy kosher.
Yes.
If he buys it and uses it, you're defrauding him.
So that's actually good to see, because it's good for him to eat bishlachen, because then he'll want to marry a guy. That's good. We should want to marry a guy.
If he wants to do it, he's defrauding it.
We're not defrauding
it. You are. He wants to buy kosher. Yes, he's kosher.
For his needs, he's buying kosher. For his needs. But
no, China, you can't sell treif meat to a guy thinking that it's kosher.
No. But when a Someone who
eats kosher. It's a rabbi. It's not a rabbi that goes to this kind of feeding kosher.
Someone who eats. Okay, maybe there's some people like that. Most of the guys who want kosher have certain things in mind. I'm not taking away from them. We want to serve, give them honestly, give them what they want. Most of their needs are they don't want animal products, they don't want dairy, they don't want it to be dangerous, they want a healthy world. Whatever they want to do, but they don't want to prevent them.
You can't say most of the man to a guy telling him that it's kosher.
I'm not talking, but it is kosher. All the things that the guy wants from the cash, of it, we're giving him.
He's
not matter, but he's asking for kosher.
He
wants no animal products. They don't want animal products. So we're giving, he doesn't want no bishak. I'm telling you, it's good for bishak. It was that we should encourage him to marry a guy. That's what we should do. That's a good idea.
In all seriousness, if you sell a kosher product, and a fryer comes in, and he buys it.
Yes.
And he turns it on and cooks it. He's eating kosher. I mean, he's a friend. Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
Yes. Okay. We want to eat kosher also.
Okay. What happens in this case? These guys are talking about that a goy buys it, and he buys it with intention that he's got a friend that's Jewish.
Oh, so Ken has a good point. He says, what happens if a guy buys it for his Jewish friend? He buys it for the guy sitting next to him in the office. He says, I'm going to buy you lunch, I buy you this thing, and I'll warm it up for you. I'll cook it in front of you. I book you a kosher product, and I'll warm it up for you. Okay, so it might be there are cases like that, but usually, I'm not saying this is always true, that usually it's assumed that a yid knows he should only let a guy cook for him if he lights fire somebody up. But he might not. You're right. Maybe like with a friend, he might not. You're right. So you give me another example, is that there are this situation is very dangerous. You're giving hashgacha on something that's leaving your company treif. That's what it is. It's leaving the company treif, and you're counting on what 95% of the people will use it in a way that's kosher. But there's 5% of the people who are going to end up eating a treif. So that's a lot of people. You're giving hashgacha on something that's really treif today. And in 95% of the cases, it's going to be okay. It won't be so bad. But there are going to still be 5% of the cases that are not going to be. Okay, I've told you, for sure at least, about someone very prominent who was talking about the shaila, and was sitting there and munching on these foods, on one of these foods, okay? They were just munching, it was a crunchy food, it wasn't fully cooked. They were just munching, it tastes like a cruncher potato chip. It's very hard and crunchy, and they were enjoying the taste, not realizing that they were eating bishlakim. Okay? This is a very prominent person who, very careful about kashrut. They didn't know, so I'm saying, I'm sitting talking to the person about how maybe we should make this food bishl yisrael, and they're eating bishlakim because, and it has hashgach on it. Okay, it has hashgach on it because, so again, there's all kinds of funny situations where, so if one out of one out of 100 people are going to end up eating it in bishlakim, so something seems wrong about giving hashgach on it. Okay? Okay, so if that would be right, we would be limiting the Ramah to the case that, so to speak, that the Ramah is talking about. Which is, the Ramah's case is, again, to a certain thing, which is, a person comes into their house, and there was someone not Jewish cooking in the house. Or they come into their restaurant, and the guy started cooking. And they catch the food when it's halfway cooked. The food is almost cooked. Is there a way to save this food? So the Ramah says, yes, if the yid will finish off the cooking, he can make a bishul yisrael. So, it's the gas cases when it happens. They walked in, the guy lit the fires already. Uh-oh, what do we do now? No, if the yid finishes off the cooking, that would be good enough. That was the Ramah. But to use it to justify giving hashgacha on the food, on your canned potatoes, it's hard to understand. He could open up the can and just put on salt and pepper and eat the food without making it bishul yisrael. So really, therefore, it should have bishul yisrael, not because theoretically you could not make it bishul yisrael, but seemingly it makes sense to make it bishul yisrael to make sure you're covering all you consume. Now,
to be another issue, if somebody eats, so if you cook it in a pot, so even though the bleed is going into the pot, or they're going in before it's fully cooked, but obviously it's cooking in a pot, so bleed's going to motivate it just as well.
Yes.
Right, but let's say these guys are putting a can or somebody's cutting with a knife or something before he puts it in this pot, and he uses different dishes while it's still not fully cooked. So, he just puts it in the dishwasher, so you can
get that
much smear on that knife, it's trait.
You see, in the meantime it was trait, and it might have been used in a way on his kalim, it may be floating around the house, which was, that's an interesting point. Okay. That's worth thinking about also then. That we're letting him keep trafe in his house, but we're going to go to the dishwasher, or go into the sink, or go into everything else.
In that pot that was cooked, obviously it's not going to be a problem.
Right. Okay, that's a good point. Okay, and this is like, when I say it's like a side point, it's a side point, which is, all that we just said, all this whole kula is for Ashkenazim. Right? The Ramah is Mako. The Mechaber is not Mako. So, if someone were to give Hashkacha, and they would be justified to do that. If we say an Ashkenazi hashgacha with hashgacha, let's say parboiled rice, and say this rice is kosher because the yid's going to finish the cooking. They decided that no, everyone's going to cook it in the end. That's good enough. That would only be good for their Ashkenazi customers. The Sephardi customers would have to be aware before they buy the rice, says, are you giving Hashgacha because you think I'm going to finish off the cooking? If that's what you're doing, that doesn't help for me. Me, the Sephardi, wouldn't help for. So if the Hashgacha would do that and say, I'm giving Hashgacha because I know you're going to finish off the cooking, then Sephardi wouldn't buy it. Then that food really, not the Ashkenazim are doing the right thing. They're giving Hashgacha for Ashkenazim, but the Sephardi who are want to buy that food would have to be aware. The rub and the Sephardi shul would have to be aware. Don't to tell people, don't buy this and this and this, because that Hashgacha is doing something that works for them, but it's not good enough for us.
The obvious opposite would be kidneys and Pesach.
That there are foods that they can eat. But over here, it's misleading because it says on the Hashgacha on it. The person thinks kosher is kosher. That should be good enough for me. Here's an example that the Hashgacha did the right thing, but for me, it's not kosher. They did the right thing because they're Ashkenazi. Me being a Sephardi, I have to start asking questions to find out whether that food is good enough.
Well, recently, in the last few years, a lot of these things that kidneys, didn't even say it was kidneys.
Right. Correct.
So I mean, this
that was the opposite. That was a Sephardi giving the Hashgacha,
right.
And we were being misled. Right. We the Ashkenazi were misled. Okay, fine. Okay, now, one last thing, we'll just do this quickly, which is that Daki Tshuva brings a sort of well-known Tshuva from the Beis Yosef, which is Avkus Reichel, who says, what happens if you have a guy who cooked the food, and he's talking about grains, and then after he cooked it, you undid the cooking. Okay, he talks about drying it in a way that undoes the cooking to the point that it's not edible anymore. So he says that there's reason to think, he's not 100% convinced, but he said there's reason to think that if the Yid would now cook it the second time, that would be Bishul Yisrael. Why? The guy did a cooking, he made it Bishul Akum, but what the guy did was undone. It became uncooked. If it became uncooked, now cooking it again can make it Bishul Yisrael. Even though the Mechaber would say that if a Yid cooked it, the guy can't cook it at the end of the cooking, but if the guy's work was undone, the Yid can't do the cooking. Okay? This is not such a relevant child to us. But there are two variations of the child that are relevant to us. One is the Dr. Tshuva brings, what would happen in the opposite case? What would happen if a Yid would do the cooking and make the food Bishul Yisrael, and then the Yid's action would be undone? So he says the same logic should be that it's not Bishul Yisrael. If the Yid did the cooking and made it get undone, then the guy cooking later would be Bishul Yisrael. Okay, I don't know if that either is a practical case, but there is the Chalkas Binyamin at the beginning of the Siman. We mentioned this then. At the beginning of the Siman has a practical application, which is like this. What happens if you have a food? His example is beans. Okay, the Post can talk about whether beans need Bishul Yisrael. So he says, beans are really edible raw. Okay, when you take beans out of the ground, they're edible. He says, so why are people talking about whether beans need Bishul Yisrael? He says, because obviously they're talking about the standard way that we get beans, which is dried beans. Okay, you have the beans, when they come out of the ground, if you eat, peas in a pod, you can eat them, they're edible raw. But most of us never see beans like that. Most of us see beans after they've been dried out to preserve them, so they don't spoil. Okay, and those are not edible raw. So he says this, so the whole fact that there's such a discussion in the Poskim is, it's along the lines of what the Avkus Reichel is saying, is that the food has become, it used to be edible raw, it didn't eat Bishul Yisrael. And now it became not edible raw. It became changed in a way, just like in our case, the cooking that the guy did can be undone and it became back to raw again. Or the cooking that the Yid did can be undone and it can go back to be raw again. And whatever happened to Bishul Akum, Bishul Yisrael was undone, it started again from scratch. If we take a food that was cooked, that was edible raw, and we make it not edible raw, then that food now all of a sudden needs Bishul Yisrael. Now it happens to be that beans don't need it for a different reason, because they're not oil shochamach. But the fact that there's a discussion about it is because you have to view the food as it is in the form that it's in now. It's something we're going to see a little bit more about in a couple of halachas, about salted foods. We'll see the salted fish in a few halachas. But you look at the food as it is now. Right now, this food is not edible raw, even though it once was. If this food right now is not edible raw...
Can you poison it up and make it be
edible? No, you can't just try it.
Is that possible?
No. I don't know if it's every bean. If you take most beans and you soak them, they're not going to be edible. They're still going to be hard as well. You still can't eat them. They still need cooking. But even though when you took it off the ground, you could eat it. Okay, I'm assuming that's correct. It sounds right to me. The beans that we've seen, seem edible when they come off the ground. Unless that might be wrong in the Metzias, but the Svara he's saying is sort of an extension of what the Mitzvah is saying. We have to look at the thing as it is today. The fact that there was a time that it was different,
it's a chiddush.
It is a chiddush. No, it is, because you might argue and say, a food that's edible raw, I don't gain anything from what the guy did, because I could have eaten it raw myself anyhow. The fact that it temporarily was not edible raw doesn't mean anything to me. It's not exactly the same as the Africa circle.
Does it make a difference if the guy dried it out? What if the Jew dried it out and made it not edible? Does it make a difference if the Jew dried it out?
It shouldn't make a difference. So what I'm saying is, if he cooks me up a pot of beans, so I say, did I gain something from what he did to me? So he said, the Chalik was speaking, I'm just saying, is I did gain something from him. I used to have a inedible thing, and he made it edible, so I gained something from it, so it needs to be so. You could argue that I didn't get anything because it used to be fully edible. And for a while, it wasn't a big deal, but really, I didn't get anything because I couldn't eat it. That's what he wants to say.